Ship's pilot. Imagine a ship sailing through the high seas for weeks, now nearing its destination, a foreign port. Until quite recently, in most global ports, a foreign ship was not allowed to sail all the way to inner harbor unaided. It was required by law to wait in outer harbor, where it was met by a tiny ant to a mountain-sized tugboat. This tugboat was skippered by a local, often a man who was raised on these waters, who knew the shoals and the reefs and the tides like the back of his own hand. This skipper in this tug, called a pilot boat, would meet the foreign ship and safely guide it in to inner harbor. It would guide it past the shoals and reefs and through the tide that the ship itself was not familiar with. The pilot boat would share with it its wisdom of local space and time. It would safely orient the great big ship in these foreign waters. In this metaphor, the ship is the soul, the pilot tugboat is the ego, the inner harbor is the confinement of existence while in human form, and the high seas is the infinite field of pure potentiality, the unmanifest, all that exists beyond space and time. Adam's rib. And God took of the earth, and he created Adam. And he took a rib of Adam, and he created Eve. Adam is soul. Adam's rib is ego. The earth is the essence of which all things are made. Note that this metaphor is cogent as pure analogy. Gender is not specific here. To be precise, soul is not masculine and ego is not feminine. Degender this metaphor, and it is a simple, pure description of the original derivation of ego from the infinity of soul. Non-metaphoric understanding. Like many words in the English or any language, ego has been attributed with a diversity of meanings since the concept of ego, denoted by the word ego, first emerged. In contemporary society, ego is often perceived solely in a limited, somewhat negative connotation, as the formulator of the shadow self, as the false self, as the collector of one's karma. Although all of these are true in the Commission One function of ego, none touch on the totality of what ego is. Each of the three metaphors above attempt to expand your imagination, inviting your consciousness to grasp the wider, vaster reality of ego. Yes, when any of our experiences are not completely digested, we'll explore this in powerful detail in Chapter 3, Tools for Emptying Out the Past. It is as if your ego relegates them essentially out of sight, out of mind, as your shadow self. Yes, when, out of insecurity based on abusive or disrespectful or non-nurturing upbringing, or simply through modeling other limited, negative self-identity humans around you, you believe yourself to be less than who you truly are, it is as if your ego develops a false self sense of self-identity, to deflect attention either to, over-exaggerated, or from, under-responsive, your wounded self-perception. It is as if, when you leave one lifetime and enter a next, without having fully resolved the challenges of the prior lifetime, your ego carries forward on your behalf your karma from your previous lifetimes. These may all be true, and yet they are not the totality of what your ego is. You are more than you may ever realize. It is as if you are pure consciousness, having stepped down vibrationally in order to temporarily experience yourself as a human in the slower frequency realms of earth, space, time. Essentially, it is as if when you were born, you forgot. Like a deeply anesthetized amnesiac, you think you were a false self, a shadow self, a karma-laden identity. As you begin to wake up, you begin to remember that you are, in fact, an omnidimensionally limitless soul who chooses to have an earth, space, time experience. The irony of this story is that, in order for limitation to seem real to you, you have to believe it. In order to believe it, you have to develop a limited self-identity. This is precisely what your shadow self and false self-perceptions accomplish. They keep you tethered in a false perception of yourself as being less than the limitless pure potentiality of your soul in a soul-infused omni-existence. Shakespeare's play A Midsummer Night's Dream so eloquently illustrates this. The spell that puts the characters to sleep is blatantly visible to the audience, yet not to the characters themselves. It is only as the spell wears off that they begin to realize that they have been dreaming, that what they thought absolutely irrefutably was their reality was in fact a temporary dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. That's a traditional English nursery rhyme often sung by children. Soul's job now is to reawaken you from that dream. And now, right now, at this precious juncture in human history, is when soul is destined, commissioned, predetermined to do this. So the short-term, temporary existence of ego as your shadow's creator, as false self's maintainer, as your karma's collector is coming to an end. This is the polar shift, the unparalleled, long-awaited dissolution of ego commission one's role, and the glorious Midsummer Night Dream-like revelation of ego's astounding Commission 2 role. For ego Commission 2 welcomes soul. It reminds you that you are soul. We are spirits in the material world. Take a deep breath. Take time to savor and to ponder each of these three metaphors and or this non-metaphoric description, whichever speak to you personally most distinctly. These metaphors are coded via symbols. See between the words themselves and you will behold their meaning. Like any metaphors, they simply point you towards meaning, towards expansion of your own consciousness, towards comprehending the unfathomable. What is ego and how was it created? With this flourishing key understanding, we can begin to co-create a resplendent new reality.